This is a summary of The High Five Habit by Mel Robbins by bestbookbriefings.com. The High Five Habit, Take Control of Your Life with One Simple Habit by Mel Robbins. Introduction. It all started one morning when I was in the bathroom getting ready for the day. I caught my reflection and started to pick at all the things I didn't like about myself, the dark circles, the saggy skin. My mind started going in a direction where every thought I had made me feel worse about myself. I took a look at the time. My first Zoom call was in 15 minutes. I thought about the deadline I was running up against. I need to start waking up earlier. I thought about the emails and texts I hadn't responded to yet, the dog that needed walking, my father's biopsy results, everything my kids needed me to do for today. My day hadn't even started and I was already overwhelmed. All I wanted was to pour a cup of coffee, collapse in front of my TV, and forget about everything that was bothering me, but I knew I couldn't do that. My problems weren't going to fix themselves, after all, but I just wanted a break from my life. The past few months have been hell on me. The stress was non-stop. I'd been so busy taking care of everyone and everything else, but who was taking care of me? In moments like these, the demands of life can pile up, leading to a downward spiral in your attitude. I needed someone to tell me, "You're right, this is hard, and you don't deserve this. But if anyone can handle it, you can." I needed someone to reassure me, motivate me. But even though I was one of the most successful motivational speakers in the world, I couldn't think of anything to say. I lifted my hand to my haggard reflection in a kind of salute. "I don't know why I did it. I see you, and I love you. Come on, you've got this." That was all I wanted to say, but as I was doing the gesture, I realized that it was a simple little high five to my own reflection, instantly recognizable, and as common as a handshake. Perhaps it was a little cheesy, but I was telling myself something I needed to hear, without having to say a word. I felt my spirits lift. Suddenly, I didn't look so tired, and my to-do list didn't seem so intimidating after all. I wasn't alone, after all. I had me. The next morning came, and I felt the same problems, the same feeling of being overwhelmed. I walked into the bathroom, and found myself high-fiving my reflection again. I smiled, and went about my day. On the third morning, I woke up and realized that I was actually looking forward to doing it again. I made my bed a little faster, and walked into the bathroom with a strange sense of enthusiasm. It felt like I was about to see a friend. I've wondered about the times in my life when I received a high five after playing team sports, or getting a promotion, or breaking up with a loser. I remember one of the highlights of my life running the New York City Marathon in 2001, 2 months after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Spectators crowded 26 miles of sidewalk to cheer and high-five the people who ran that day. Had it not been for them, I would have never made it. I just don't have that kind of stamina. And I hadn't even done the proper training for the race. 13 miles in, I was begging the volunteers to agree with me that I should quit, but they wouldn't hear it. "Quit now. But you've come so far," so off I went. A high five is so much more than a slapped hand. It's a transfer of energy and belief from one human to another. Every high five I received in that race said, "I believe in you." And it gave me the energy to push forward for 6 hours until I crossed the finish line. It's easy enough to draw a parallel between life and a marathon. Imagine if you could wake up every morning and tap into that same high five energy. Really stop and think about it. How much does criticizing yourself actually help? How often do you even cheer for yourself? The answer is likely almost never. Why not? Doesn't being loved, encouraged, and celebrated feel so good? How great are you at supporting and celebrating other people, your favorite teams, actors, influencers, your family, your coworkers, your friends? But when it comes to you, you do the opposite. It's so easy to tear yourself down. But it's time to give yourself the encouragement that you deserve and need. The science behind a high five. The high five habit is not just a gesture, it's self-validation. When you look at your reflection and raise a hand in celebration, it's impossible for you to think or voice negative thoughts about yourself. For your entire life, you've had a positive association with it, so your subconscious flips into a positive mode and derails the worrying critic in your head. This gives you an opportunity to focus and think about what you want to do for yourself and for your day. It's impossible to high-five yourself and worry about your to-do list, or a work email, or whatever else you need to do today. A high five is a gut check for right now, snapping you into the present moment. There's nothing worse than a limp high five, or one that misses entirely. To give a good high five, you need to concentrate on both the action and its intention. In other words, you need to be fully present. Recent research from Harvard Business School shows that taking a moment to reflect on your work improves job performance and motivation. In the academic journal Frontiers in Psychology, there is a study which finds that compared with different forms of encouragement, a high five was the best motivator for school-aged children. Researchers drew the conclusion that a high five was a shared expression of celebration and belief, a physical act that was more powerful than passive, verbal praise. You can repeat mantras and statements to build yourself up, but unless you actually believe it, your mind will find a reason to reject it. We need to feel seen, supported, and celebrated at work. 2. Google conducted a 3-year study called Project Aristotle in order to determine what made the best working teams. They found that the high-performing teams were the ones that created a sense of psychological safety, where teammates felt like other people had their back. Further research also shows that the biggest determinant of whether you enjoy and find meaning in your work is if you have a manager who cares and supports you. Dr. Lawrence Katz, a neurobiologist and researcher at Duke University, discovered a field of research called neurobic interventions, which are one of the easiest, most powerful ways to rewire your brain. A neurobic exercise involves pairing a routine activity with 1. An unexpected sensory experience, and 2. An emotion you're training yourself to feel. The goal is to make your brain snap to attention and learn new habits and ways of thinking faster. Studies have found, for example, that brushing your teeth with your non-dominant hand while repeating a thought helps you to accurately remember the words and feelings that they evoke. The high five works in a similar way. Researchers at the University of Hertfordshire conducted a study on things that generate happiness and satisfaction. From a wide range of behaviors and habits, they found that the number one influencer was self-acceptance. How kind you were to yourself had a directly proportional effect on your happiness, and it has the power to totally change your life. Despite its power, self-acceptance is the habit we practice the least. We'll drink the vitamins, go to the gym, wake up earlier, and meditate, all the while hating ourselves for every little thing we could be doing better. So why don't we just do it? The simple answer is that very few of us were taught how. Our parents were hard on themselves, so in turn they were hard on us. As a child, our brain absorbs everything around us with startling efficiency, storing everything into our subconscious and carrying it into our adulthoods. But we can do better for ourselves and for our children. Generational patterns are meant to be broken. Being hard on ourselves isn't the answer. In fact, they shut us down from achieving our goals. To create a happy and fulfilling life, you need to practice being kind to yourself every day. Before we continue, it's important to establish something. The high five habit is not about false praise or forced positive thinking. If those things alone could change your life, then you would have already used it. The high five habit is about changing the default programming that traps you in a destructive relationship with yourself. You can't think your way to a better life. If you want change, you need to start acting differently and making different decisions. The obstacles we face are real and sometimes extreme. You can't wish away child trauma, systemic inequality, addiction, or chronic pain. Life can be cruel and unfair in a variety of ways. Regardless of how large or small your problems are, the fact is that they are real, and they are in your way. No one knows what your life is like except for you. That's why you must give yourself the love and support that you need. You can't change what's already happened, but you can choose what happens next. I few questions. How do I start? It's simple. Every morning, before you let the world in, take a moment to just be with your reflection. The second you leave your bathroom, it's likely that every moment will be about other people and other things. The High Five habit is built on a moment that you set aside every morning, just for you. Don't focus on your appearance. Really try to go deep and see the person who is inside that body, the spirit, and the soul. When you feel like you're ready, high-five your reflection. Notice how your mind will go quiet. You might feel a boost of energy or a sense of comfort. Savor that moment and let it empower you. Why do it first thing in the morning? It'll impact your productivity for the rest of the day. Start the day in a positive state of mind, and you're more likely to take action and take control of your life. It'll teach you to put your own needs first. Why do it in the bathroom? The bathroom is one of the very few places where you're most likely to be alone and face to face with yourself. If you do it at the gym, at work, or at school, you might feel too self-conscious. Doing it at home means that you can build this new routine on top of your existing morning routine. Don't drift into autopilot, pause, and actually be with yourself. It might be your one chance all day. Do I really need to use a mirror? Absolutely. You don't have to touch or smudge the mirror, but as previously discussed, you are fusing the positive association your brain has with high fives with your reflection. Does it work for everyone? It really does, but you have to do it and make it a habit, which requires repetition. It won't work if you do it for 2 or 3 days and then stop. Change is simple, but it isn't always easy. Why not just high-five someone else? You already high-five everyone else. You spend too much time seeing everyone else, focusing on what they need and what they expect. If you think your self-worth and self-esteem are determined by what other people think of you, then you're looking in the wrong mirror. A million likes on social media are worthless if you don't like yourself. Validate yourself, even if it's just because you're alive and standing ready to seize the day. Why do I even need to love myself? You can't change if you focus on what's wrong. When you have that attitude, every change you try to implement will feel like a reminder that you need fixing, making the process harder for yourself. Hating your body or your past won't motivate you. The high-five attitude will support you at every step of your journey when you remind yourself that you're making a change because you love yourself. Self-love is your right as a human being. You deserve to be celebrated as you are, right now. And you are so much stronger than you think. Resilience is a part of your DNA. Think back to when you were a baby, and you learned to walk before you could even talk. Where does the negativity come from? Everyone has a negative mantra about themselves. I ruin everything. I'm a terrible person. I'm unattractive. I'm a living failure. Etc. There may be some truth in those statements, but consider this. Is thinking those things helping you? You need to be careful not to let this negative story play on repeat in your head. You might look in the mirror and see nothing but regrets, doubts, and disappointment. How do you get rid of that state of mind? Have you ever opened up your laundry dryer to find the filter clogged by a thick layer of lint? Our inescapable negative thoughts are like that fuzzy residue that we've accumulated from a life of other people's opinions, rejections, trauma, guilt, and self-doubt. They clog up our mind and prevent us from being able to celebrate ourselves. And it's not just a cute metaphor. The scientific term for this phenomenon is the reticular activating system, RAS. You can picture it as a living network of neurons that sits like a hairnet on top of your brain. The RIS's job is to decide what information enters your conscious mind and what information stays out. Some experts like to call it the bouncer of your mind. Your RAS needs to filter an enormous amount of data, and it needs all the help it can get so that it can help you. The RAS blocks 99% of everything you sense. Without it, your head would explode from the information overload. Only 4 things get past your RAS automatically. The sound of your name, anything that threatens your safety, signals that your partner is interested in sex, whatever your RAS thinks is important to you, which includes whatever thought you repeat or focus on. That last part is important. If you know what matters to you, you can train your RAS to filter the world and help you find it. You can literally teach your mind to find the things you want to see in it. When you know how to use it, the RAS is a searchlight that shows all the opportunities and hidden surprises that lie in front of you. But if your negative thoughts clog up your mental filter, your RAS will be trained to look for every difficulty, every failure, all to prove your negative storyline. If you've ever been broken up with, you'll know that for days, weeks, and even months, all you're capable of seeing are things that remind you of your ex. Your RAS is picking up on your cue that the ex is still important. But when you meet someone new, it's like your mind's bouncer kicked the ex out of the line and let this new person move up to the front. Before you know it, the only thing you can see are things that remind you of love. Your RAS did that, too. The stories you tell yourself are critical to the way you live your life. It's time to break those old thought patterns and replace them with how you want to feel. There are three steps you can take. I'm not thinking about that. Although you can't prevent negative thoughts from popping up, you can interrupt them with these five powerful words and redirect your RAS. Wipe the worry away like you would lint on a dryer filter. Your negative voice's greatest weakness is being told to shut up. You may have to do this multiple times a day, but you have the power to kick them away before they stick. Remember that your mind is designed to help you get what you want. Note to self, once you've talked back, you then need to create a new belief for your RAS and make it visual. A lot of gyms have motivation quotes on their walls for this very reason. Researchers from Harvard and Wharton found that people are more likely to follow through on their good habits when they set up a cue that is slightly unexpected, so that it stands out and is in the place where they would need to do the habit. A bathroom mirror is the perfect place for a positive mantra on a post-it note. It's crucial that this mantra is something that you can believe in right now, not later. Here are just a few you can try. I deserve to feel great. I've got my own back. The thing that broke my heart has opened my eyes. I'm being taught something important. Today is going to be a great day. I'm enough just the way I am. What is meant for me will find me. I am stronger than I think I am. I'm allowed to be a work in progress. This is scary, but I'm doing it anyway. The world needs to see my story. I will focus on what I can control. If I put the work in, it will happen. Act like the person you want to be. Now that you've put a new positive belief in place, you need to take physical actions that match and support it. Behavioral activation therapy is a simple but effective method of therapy based on a single ethos: act like the person you want to be, regardless of how you feel right now. When you act, you create momentum for positive change, and your brain sees you taking action. This is crucial. To take this even deeper and make the shift happen faster, take actions that help other people. Serving other people helps you snap out of your funk and see yourself in a new light. A high five morning. A high five morning means fulfilling a series of simple promises. Each of these promises are backed by research and are easy, small wins that get you ready for the day. In a high five morning, you take priority before your to-do list, your phone, the news, your family's needs, and everything else that you can't control. Promise 1. Get up when the alarm goes off. Put yourself first. Before you go to bed, take a minute to think about the morning tomorrow. What time do you really need to get up in order to have enough time for yourself? Do your kids need to go to school, or is the weekend? Do you have a big meeting ahead, or are you taking some time off? Often, we wake up at the time our habits dictate. When the alarm rings, get up. No snooze button, no grumbling. Your RAS is paying attention. If you always hit snooze, you're telling it that you don't do what you say you will. It has nothing to do with being a morning person, and everything to do with keeping your promises to yourself. Don't think of the alarm as an obligation, think of it as an opportunity to prove yourself. Also important, when you wake up, do not look at your phone. Promise 2. Say I'm okay, I'm safe, I'm loved. Say what you need to hear. Center yourself. Instead of starting the day with whatever's on your phone, put your hand on your heart and say what you need to hear, as many times as you need to hear it. That's two wins already, congratulations. Promise 3. Make your bed, give yourself a gift. Making your bed a way of strengthening your discipline and committing to not crawling back in it. When you walk back into your bedroom later, you'll see a beautiful bed instead of a mess that needs fixing. You're making your bed for yourself and doing what you need to do regardless of any excuse, feeling, or change. Promise 4. Give your reflection a high five. Celebrate yourself. Head right for the bathroom and say hi to your greatest ally and oldest friend, you. Smile and raise your hand in celebration. Take a moment for yourself, you've got this. Promise 5. Wear your exercise clothes. Take care of yourself. The physical and mental benefits of exercise are well supported by science and real life. You know it as well as everyone does, but this isn't enough to make you do it. It's likely that it's the last thing you actually want to do. I set a trap for myself every evening. I lay out my exercise clothes on the floor of my closet, forcing myself to put them on before I leave my bedroom. Once I've done that, and I'm dressed for the occasion, it's a lot easier to just start exercising. But notice that I didn't make the promise workout every day. If you already feel overwhelmed, that might be a promise you can't keep. Remember, we're going for easy wins to build momentum. You get a high five just for putting them on, and you've gotten 5 wins before you even drink a coffee. Promise 6. Dream in the morning. Train your RAS. Dreaming doesn't have to be just when you're sleeping. Dreaming in the morning is a way of carrying your dreams into your daily life. Keep a daily journal, make a list of all the things you've done to center yourself, and check them off. This reinforces your small wins, and it's a simple way of celebrating your progress. Make a page to clear your mind. Write down whatever you're feeling, even if it doesn't make a lot of sense. Some days, it'll be beautiful. Other days, it might be painful. But for every day, it'll get you out of your head and into the present moment. It'll help you process your emotions and keep you from taking them out on anyone you come across today. On the next page, give yourself permission to acknowledge the things you want. Just write 5 things. Don't judge them, or sneer at them, or change them to sound more palatable. They can be big and meaningful, or just something you want to feel, or buy, or do. They can be the same ones every day, or different every time. Just follow your heart. You validate your dreams by writing them down, and in the process you fire up the old RAS, training it to say yes to you, and to what you want. That's it. Now that you've put yourself first and focused on what you want, you're free to look at and do whatever you choose. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.